me officially declare this meeting open. It's not going to be a longer meeting. The arrangement with the Department of Culture. May I ask that we observe silent prayers and meditations, please? Thank you very much. Let me officially welcome all our members of the Select Committee of COCTA. Also take this opportunity to welcome the Deputy Minister, Mabella, and the delegation that has accompanied you. Also acknowledging our meet official and also the meeting. Without any waste of time, we are going to go straight to the agenda. In terms of apologies, can we get an indication of apologies? Honourable Judge.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Engel Recht has been taken ill. She requested that we make apology for her. Thank you.
Honourable Engel Recht, any other apology? Honourable Wala. Means you've got two registered apologies. That is the one of Honourable Engel Recht and Honourable Wanda. Now, members, without any waste of time, I'm going to ask the Deputy Minister to present is around the traditional leadership and governance framework bill, which is supposed to be dealt with by our committee. Honourable Deputy Minister, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Select Committee, Honourable Mahapi, to all members of the Select Committee of the NCOP, present, officials of the Department of the Traditional Affairs present, and I see the media is also here. Good morning, everybody. We are here to present on this technical amendment, which it would to be presented, but just to give some kind of a political opening remarks. One, it's because we are asking for an extension by a year to 2 years on the technical amendments to allow for the department to ensure compliance by provinces to the reconstituting of the traditional councils as they are. We are aware that this matter should have long been resolved. It should have by now no longer even need an extension. However, because it's a new system that was introduced by this act, which we are now amending, it took longer because in it is a transformation agenda. In the transformation agenda was the introduction of the 60-40% representation. 60% of the people who must serve in the traditional council as appointed by the senior traditional leader and the royal family, and then the 40% constituting the communities that they are representing. As you will know that in the old system, the communities will not be represented. It will be just the traditional authority alone and with whoever he chooses without this democratization element. So immediately after enactment of the law, all provinces should have complied, but unfortunately only five did, because it only existed in seven provinces. Of the seven that did not comply with the law, it's Limpopo, which has a majority of traditional council, almost 200, and then it's Mpumalanga, which has almost 53 of the traditional councils. And in KZN and others, they did, but not fully compliant with the law. Also, KZN has a number, over 200 of such traditional councils. So we are worried that Limpopo and Mpumalanga in the main are the ones that did not. They are still calling themselves tribal authorities, and we no longer have tribal authorities in the democratic dispensation. We have what we call traditional councils in the dispensation. And therefore the extension is really to go and clean up that environment. Quite a number of them are expiring. The term of office is ending this year. And then in the reconstitution, you want to bring uniformity, you want to bring standards, and that is why we're asking for this extension so that they all go on the same period, they all go the same year, and then they'll go into the format that we all are happy that it's a democratized format. It's transformative in nature, and indeed it's beginning to take the sector into the democratic dispensation of South Africa. And therefore we will then be presenting and asking the parliament, both houses, as we have done with the NA, now we're in the NCOP, to really agree with us, if so, in this journey of really transformative agenda of the traditional council systems in South Africa, which is recognized by the Constitution itself. Chapter 12 of the Constitution is what is the base of why we are here, the custodian's role of the traditional leaders, and as also expressed by the Act itself, which we are here to present its amendment, the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act, which is now appealed for amendment. And it's more technical amendments, is the extensions. And also, in that, we also want to ensure that there's an establishment of the King's Councils, which were never done themselves. And we're bringing in issues that had made it difficult for the establishment of the King's Councils, and the amendment we are seeking is to enable that instrument also to be operationalized, because in the current old Act, it has not been as easy to do so. So we are bringing those two technicalities really for consideration. So in those few chapters, and I would like to therefore to invite the through you, Chair, that the department can then present on those particular amendments that were being proposed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Before we can for the department to do presentation, may I make a request? All copies of the presentation has been circulated to each and every member. In case you wish to register your clarity-seeking questions, just note it down while the presentation is being done. Lastly, may I make a request? Because the presentation has been prepared by your good self, don't read for us. We would read for ourselves instead of the presentation. Speak to the slides, please, for the sake of time. Over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Honourable Deputy Minister. Dr. Bester is going to take us through the presentation. Dr. Bester.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members, and thank you for this opportunity. This is not a very long presentation, and as members would have seen, the bill itself is also not a very long bill. So I'll go through it very quickly. I'll start on slide number 3 of the presentation, which is the introduction. Deputy Minister highlighted some of the issues, but in short, if you look at the current Framework Act, the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act, certain things had to be done by certain time frames. Tribal authorities were supposed to be reconstituted as traditional councils within a certain time frame. Community authorities had to be disestablished within a certain time frame. And kingship and queenship councils were supposed to be established within certain time frames. This has not happened for various reasons, and we'll go into the other slides that follows just very briefly into those particular reasons what happened. Chair, it's important to note for members that the challenges that this short bill is addressing, these challenges are all fully covered in the traditional Khoisan leadership bill, which is also in Parliament, currently being thoroughly considered by the Portfolio Committee, COCTA Portfolio Committee. In fact, they started a few weeks ago to go through the clause-by-clause discussions, and they're continuing today. But that bill is taking a long time because of the nature of the discussions, and therefore this bill, amendment bill in front of this committee, is seen as an interim measure. If we can go to slide number 4, Chair, which talks about traditional councils. Look, originally the transitional provisions of the Framework Act said that tribal authorities were supposed to be reconstituted within 1 year from the date of commencement of the Framework Act. Now, the Framework Act commenced on 24 September 2004, which means that that 1 year was up on 23 September 2005. It was not done. The reconstitution didn't take place. So in 2009, the department approached Parliament and said, can we extend these timeframes? Which they did. They extended it for a further 7 years, but there was a problem with the drafting at the time. If you look at how they drafted that 2009 amendment, the 7 year period had to be determined from the date of commencement of the original act, which was a mistake. It was supposed to be from the date of commencement of the amendment act. In effect, this meant then that even that extended time frame lapsed on 23 September 2011. The 2009 Amendment Act also introduced new principles, namely that a formula had to be issued to determine the number of members of traditional councils, and that the minister could issue guidelines in terms of which provinces or that could guide provinces in the issuing of their formulas. These extended timeframes were not met. If we look at traditional councils in total, on slide 5, the most important point is 2.5 there on the presentation. It tells us what exactly are wrong currently with traditional councils. Well, firstly, some tribal authorities were not reconstituted at all. Others were reconstituted, but it took place after the expiry of the time frame that was allowed for such reconstitution. In some instances, the provinces did not issue a formula. In instances where there were formulas issued, they were not necessarily in compliance with the guidelines issued by the minister. And then, of course, we must remember this is a concurrency. So provinces also have legislation dealing with this particular matter. And in many instances, they did not meet the requirements of their own laws. The result is that there is legal uncertainty at this stage as to whether there is, in fact, any enabling provision that can be used for the reconstitution of traditional councils. Now, taking into account the fact that in terms of the law, all these structures are aligned to the term of office of the National House. And that term of office expired now, in August this year, which means that reconstitution must be done. We should have started already with it. There is a process underway. The department is busy with the provinces to prepare, but the fact is there's no enabling provision at this stage. So if we look at kingship and queenship councils, there's a very similar problem there. The Framework Act determines that these councils were supposed to be established within 1 year from the date of recognition of the kingships and the queenships. Now, the president recognized a number of kingships in 2010, and these councils were then supposed to have been established by 2011. It did not happen. For one reason is the fact that you need a formula that determines the number of members of the kingship council. It turned out that the development of this formula is a little bit more complicated than everybody expected it to be. So the development of the formula took a little bit longer. It has been done in the meantime. The officials who did it are actually in this meeting. And then, of course, the Act also requires that you must consult the kingships on this formula. These consultations are underway, and they've been finalized in most instances. But the one-year time frame has lapsed. So even if the formula is issued right now officially, consultations have been concluded, you do not have the legal time frame within which you can constitute these kingship councils. In the case of community authorities, what the Framework Act is saying, Chair, is that they were supposed to be disestablished in terms of provincial legislation. The idea at the time was that provinces, being responsible for community authorities, had to develop their own laws, put in provisions into their own laws as to how they're going to disestablish community authorities, how they're going to deal with all the consequences thereof, the legal consequences, staff consequences, whatever the consequences may have been. Very few provinces made provision for this in their legislation, unfortunately. That time frame has also lapsed. So this particular bill on slide 8 that is in front of the committee basically deals with the following. We intend to extend all the time frames to make sure that all these reconstitutions can be done, firstly. And also, you will see if you look at the bill, that these time frames are extended from the date of commencement of the amendment bill. Not to repeat the mistake then that was made in 2009. We also bring in the provision to say how to deal with instances where the extended timeframes are not met by provinces. We also thought we'll make it a little bit easier for provinces as far as the formula that is required is concerned, and to say that where the minister has issued guidelines, and I'll talk about the guidelines now, and provinces have not issued the formula, the minister's guidelines can actually serve as the formula. We have noticed that in instances where there are formulas, it is more or less a copy and paste of the guidelines in any event. So they are using the guidelines to a large extent as the formula. The minister issued guidelines in 2011 for the first time. Some practical problems were experienced with the guidelines, and it was changed, amended in 2015. And then again in 2017, the latest amendments to the guidelines were to make it a lot easier to implement. It was about a month ago, I think, the latest guidelines were published in the Gazette. And those guidelines can then be used as the formula, so provinces do not have to bother issuing the formula in terms of the law. We're also providing an alternative method for the disestablishment of community authorities in this bill. In other words, to cover those provinces that did not make provision in the provincial legislation, we brought in a provision in this bill to say how can they disestablish community authorities. And then amendments that came as committee amendments, Chair, at the National Assembly process, paragraph E there, 3.1E on slide 8, we're providing clarity on how the 40% component, that's the elected component of a kingship or a queenship council or a principal divisional council, must be elected, exactly how it must be done. These amendments are of a technical and an operational nature, and I must emphasize again, it is an interim measure, a very urgent and needy measure, but it's an interim measure, and it will be repealed in any event, this act, the current framework act, by the traditional course of leadership bill that's currently in Parliament once that is elected. Important to note that the provincial governments are the main implementers of the traditional leadership legislation, and therefore they have been thoroughly consulted. It's mentioned there on slide 9, Chairs, I don't think it's necessary to go through all those meetings, but they've been thoroughly consulted and they've been part of this process all along. There were all the different options were looked at as to how can we address this issue of timeframes, and eventually the provinces and the department agreed that bringing this particular bill, technical bill, to Parliament will be the best and easiest solution. Lastly, Chair, the National Assembly passed this bill due to its urgency. They prioritized the bill and it was passed by the National Assembly on 22 August. And as I said, the urgent passing of this bill is necessary to ensure that we do have legally enabling provisions to allow provinces to reconstitute the traditional councils, which is probably the most urgent need at this stage, is traditional councils, but also to allow those kingship and queenship councils that have not yet been established, to have them established, and then to allow provinces to deal with the challenges around community authorities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the presentation. Brief and straightforward. But all our members, I think this is the moment where we need to interact with the presentation. Clarity seeking questions? Honorable Teto, and the other indication for the interest to interact with the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me begin by welcoming the presentation that was presented to ask. I got only one or two questions. The presenter has mentioned that the laws of provinces, the provinces are implementing their own laws. So my question is that means the laws of the provinces and the laws that are national are in contrast? If the provinces, they're implementing their own laws.
And also, we must mention that the issue of traditional cancer is a very serious issue, because the presentation that was made by the Deputy Minister has mentioned that like the province of KwaZulu-Natal is doing it, but it's not doing according to the law. But every certain time there is a election of a traditional council throughout the province. And if those elections are not according to the law, if anyone comes up and challenges the traditional council, that means the traditional leaders can be in trouble. How can, and also the deputy minister mentioned that we still need another 2 years of extension of postponement. That means this process also will delay, definitely delay for another 2 years. So do we have a mechanism that we can make in order to fast track this process and make it sure that we solve this problem once and for all? Thank you.
Very much. Any mechanism? I think the questions are very clear. More of non-compliance, what is the legal status, and the issue of extension. Just to put also a rider, it is very clear, Deputy Minister, that this matter has been directed from since the inception of the Act itself. And perhaps one should frame his question by asking, did the department not foresee these challenges? If yes, why was it not overcome? Two, just to coin the same question, what guarantee do we have that this challenge of non-compliance, particularly in terms of the time frames, that the history is not going to repeat itself? If we have failed, or the department has failed, for almost 7 years in terms of establishment and disestablishment, so what is it that you intend doing to overcome that? Perhaps that will be the question for my side.
Yeah, Chair, thanks, man. Now, let me also echo the very same welcoming of your presentation. To welcome the presentation, and we hope the bill will be speed up. There's just one question, perhaps, Chair, that I need to be cleared with. I heard the minister speaking on around the Mpumalanga, around issues of Mpumalanga province, that the council is not yet being established. I just wanted clarity, seeking Chair, that in Mpumalanga there is currently a house of traditional leaders that is built and functioning. How is it functioning if you don't have that council as determined by the Act? Because that house is functioning and funded by the legislature. Perhaps another interesting clarity-seeking question, Chair, is that how, to what extent does this bill complement the provincial growth development strategy? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Can I offer the department to respond to questions, then we have the last round of questions.
Okay. As I go first, the technical stuff. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. And honourable members for the questions. I'll deal with some of these issues. The first question around the provincial legislative competencies. Look, traditional leadership is a concurrent legislative competency. And the fact is all provinces, except of course the Western Cape, they do have legislation dealing with traditional leadership. But in terms of the Constitution, we all know that when a national piece of legislation deals with national norms and standards, as the current Framework Act is doing, then it prevails in the sense of any possible conflict that there may be. The problem with the time frames is that if you look at all the provincial laws, you will see it's more or less, again, I want to use the term copy and paste legislation, where they've taken the National Framework Act and put it into the laws. Most of them have done that. Now, when your national piece of legislation provided for these specific time frames within which reconstitution had to take place, and you have not met those time frames in terms of the national law, the provincial law cannot come and override that. The provincial law cannot extend a time frame which was set in the national piece of legislation. So that is why it's important that the national law must extend these time frames. And the provinces have all accepted it, and they are quite happy with that provision. The one about why have or what are we going to do now if there's another problem? If you read the current Framework Act, you will see one of the biggest gaps, problems in the current Framework Act is that the national minister and the national department has very little powers. There is no clause that allows the national department not even to monitor the implementation of the national current national law. There's no provision that makes that says that we can assist or intervene or anything like that. But if you look at this bill, this very short bill, we have made provision now in one of the clauses here that if the time frames are not met by the implementers, then the national minister may take the necessary steps to ensure that these reconstitutions are taking place. Because ultimately we want these structures to be on the ground, to be working, to be reconstituted correctly. So we are bringing in that back door to say, right, if you can't do it, then we can help and assist to get this done. And as we're speaking, I'm sure the DG will elaborate on this, but teams have been working very hard in the past few months to be ready for this reconstitution. The only thing they need is the legal enabling provision to be able to do it. Thanks, Jay.
Mr.
Thank you, Chairperson. The last question asked by the Honourable Member as to how is the Mpumalanga House functioning and how it contributes to the PGDS. Mpumalanga House does not rely on traditional councils to be established. It relies on the local houses, which local houses have been established and are composed by senior traditional leaders and not by members of the traditional councils. So members of the traditional councils and members of the local houses are not the same in level. So local houses, which constitute the provincial houses, are senior traditional leaders and not headmen and members of the community. So that is why we have the Mpumalanga House now established. Now as to how the house contribute into the PGDS, that the function of the houses, amongst others, are to support the plans of the province and to promote them. So that is how they contribute into the PGDS and other plans of government. But remember, houses don't have legislative and executive powers. Therefore, there are certain functions that they cannot do. But in terms of operation, they do support government activities and they do bring information to government. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. The issue of whether we have mechanisms to deal with this matter. What we have done, because of the lessons we've learned in the past, we have established a task team consisting of provincial officials and the national government, and we have appointed a service provider that is assisting us to deal with this matter. And the service provider, together with the department, has been going from province to province, taking traditional leaders through the processes and guiding them on how these things have got to be done. Now, some provinces, for example, instead of aligning their piece of legislation with the Framework Act, you know, they did not align their legislation accordingly. But this process that we've initiated as a mechanism is going to ensure that provinces align their pieces of legislation with the national legislation. And whether we have, didn't we foresee this? We did. The bill that is currently with the Portfolio Committee on COCTA, which is traditional and Khoisan leadership bill, we started it in 2011. And almost at the time when the time lapsed, because the time frames lapsed in September 2011, we incorporated it in there. And we never envisaged that the bill would take that long, long, long time and so on, because we started it way back then. At least through the mechanisms that were put in place, we are confident that we'll be able to, as they've indicated that the formulas are ready for establishment of King's Councils, the formulas are ready for the traditional council processes. We are ready with the disestablishment of the community authorities as well. But we're just having no legislation at the moment to be able to deal with this. Now, as for KZN issue and many other provinces, one of the major reasons why, provinces were not able to reconstitute is the cost of that reconstitution. And which is, for example, in some areas, it's 50 million rand to run the elections. Then you find that they do not have the money, and as a result, you find that the national government would go and try and support, we find that, we have these challenges for everyone. For example, some provinces, in the process of doing this, you find that, they end up getting the people, the reconstitution finalized. Now, the non-traditional members of those traditional councils, the Remuneration Commission, that has got to make recommendations to the president for determination for their, sitting allowances. They haven't done that. And, there have been those other challenges, related challenges as well. So we have engaged the Remuneration Commission, and they are going to review the allowances, remuneration, and all related issues pertaining to traditional council, to traditional leadership, and so on. So they've made that undertaking that they'll be able to do that. Now, if somebody was to challenge any of these traditional councils that haven't reconstituted properly, that is the reason why we are bringing this amendment, to ensure that, we do not get challenged and so on, because, if provinces are not doing it the right way, if anybody challenges them, obviously they'll have a difficulty. So when we have legislation, we will make sure from national that we tighten up, all the gaps that we have observed in the past, so that we don't have those inconsistencies that have been observed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think the technical questions were dealt with, but obviously, should the other bill, which is a substantive bill, having been processed on time, we will not be sitting where we are. The Khoisan and Traditional Leadership Bill, which was started around 2011, is only finding its space now in Parliament, as we see. It has not even reached NCOP. It's still in the National Assembly. It has really dealt with all these particular concerns and sensitive issues that members are raising. Now, realizing that this bill is not going to be through Parliament soonest, and hoping that it doesn't go beyond a year, we are now asking for this extension of the current legislation, which is of 2003, to be extended while the new bill, which is substantive, is still going through the passages of Parliament. Because once it comes out of the NA, it will come to you. You're still going to go take it back to provinces. It's still going to be subjected to other public comments processes, public hearings also. So now we then say, therefore, that maybe this technical amendment on this current law should then be extended by a year or so. And I think it was precisely said a year. But hoping therefore that the other bill that has a resolution, package of resolutions on the matters, will be a law itself, and that will then repeal this current law. So it's a year to 2 years, but precisely just a year, and that's what we're asking. And then the intention is to bring order in the system so that the functioning of the traditional councils can be attended to. Two is because the national house is collapsed, the time of frame is over. The provincial houses are also, the time frame is over. They are now under the process of reconstituting, and then in provinces they've already achieved some, and then others are achieving the end of September, and then the national house will be reconstituted in October. And we then want that as the national house is reconstituted, the reconstituting of the traditional council should quickly take place also, so that the timelines are aligned where the when with the national house, local provincial houses, local houses, and the traditional council go in the same year almost through the reconstituting, as is the requirement. So we are therefore just trying to then bring that particular normality. The legal enabling instrument is the technical amendment itself. Well, otherwise, without it, we will not be able to do anything. So I am therefore asking this extension so that there is a legal base and enabling instrument for us to then begin to pursue the one-year period and the realign, so that by the time the substantive law comes, everybody is aligned. Yes, the process of the resources is a worrying factor. Nationally, the team and the service provider that we have engaged in the reconstructing of the local houses, the provincial houses, and the national houses want to extend with this enabling instrument to also help us in the reconstructing of the traditional councils across all provinces. So that once we get this enabling instrument, we'll be able then to say to the service provider, continue in the reconstructing across all provinces, so that everyone is online because the enabling legislation is there. The agenda, obviously, it's going to be a continuous transformation of the institution itself. It's good democratization to ensure representative by communities, and we just want to achieve those particular goals, so that everyone in the democratic dispensation called South Africa is aligned in terms of the constitutionalization of South Africa as is. And we therefore hope that the select committee will be able to process the matter speedily, but obviously taking into consideration all the issues that have been raised and the concerns that also help us really with this legal enabling instrument so that it could be in line. By the time the substantive legislation comes, we'll all be in order and we'll be able then to run these particular institutions in a proper and appropriate way without facing any fears of legalities that might be raised, and avoiding them also not to be raised, so that because we are compliant, and all provinces to ensure that they are all be going to be compliant, even those that had not done it in the past 14 years to be done so. That is Limpopo and Mpumalanga in the main. But the rest of others to be compliant proper, because they've been doing it but not fully compliant. But we just want really to bring that order sense in the environment. Thank you very much, sir.
This is more of a uniform approach, the indication of the department. Can I have the last round of clarity seeking questions or comments? Honorable Kundi, then Honorable Mhlanga, you be the last.
Thank you, sir. No, to me it's just a question of clarity. I do know that traditional council or the kings are not part of the traditional council. And for that, I do not know how many kings that we have in South Africa. And those kings that we have in South Africa are the kings that were recognized by the commission or not. Thank you. So I thought that kings and queens are part of traditional council. I wasn't aware of that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. In time, by all means, that we focus on what is before.
No, thanks, Chair. Thanks, Chair. Chair, it's just an interest follow-up question. I just heard that they are having some budgetary constraints in implementing this realignment in the provinces. I just want, just for interest sake, I know that we cannot deal with this budgetary matters in the bill. But is there no any other means to actually put pressure to provinces to allocate budget on this function particular, because it lies within the provinces. I mean, within your guidelines, as national guidelines, there's no any framework or any instrument that you put to oblige provinces to put budget for this research. It's just a second question. The other matter, Chair, is around the issue when you're doing your... I'm just concerned on the stakeholders. Is SALGA involved on in the process? Does SALGA acknowledge the current development of the bill? Thank you.
Honourable members, like I indicated, this is the last lap. And like I indicated, let's focus on what is before us because we have limited time. Honourable Mutato, you are the last on this.
Thank you. Deputy Minister, I think you understand very well that this issue is very critical and it needs to be resolved, because this industry is the industry of the traditional leaders which were neglected since the day of our when we obtained our freedom. And it is a disgrace that up to now, after 20 to 21 years of our democracy, the issue of traditional leaders has not yet been addressed. And when you said, you mentioned in your presentation that you are requested another 2 years of extension, that surely clearly that even you won't address this, because I don't think we'll be still in the office after 2 years from now.
Please.
I don't know anything.
So
let us not deal with issues of deployment. Deployment.
Just aside, my problem is that I don't see any seriousness from the department that the department is determined to address this issue of traditional leaders. And when you look at the issue of budget constraints from national and provincial, it will be difficult, even if this act we're able to succeed to implement it and complete it in time, to implement the act itself. But I wonder whether the department, since the inception, it was serious on this issue of the traditional leaders to address it once and for all and put the traditional house in order throughout the nine provinces. I thank you.
If you listen to the presentation, other issues that are raised are more of comments than questions, and I think it's left with us as a select committee, as and when we release the department, perhaps to engage further on some of the issues moving forward. But nonetheless, it's for department to really pronounce where they need to pronounce, but let's be strict to the matter that is before us. Deputy Minister.
No, thank you, Chair. I fully agree with you that some of the issues raised are a discussion for the next time, which is most welcome, and I think we ought to be invited as a department to come and present where are we, what have we been doing to ensure that this sector is part of the moving South Africa and not neglected, as is the view by the Honourable Member, but also what is the role of the sector precisely in a democratic South Africa, and then also to then indicate the support services and systems that exist across the governance system as a whole, because some of the functions are cutting across other departments, like when the issues of land, obviously to the rural and land reform, and how we're working with them to resolve quite a number of issues there. In terms of the institution of the sector is the DTA. But then when you look at the sector itself, some of the mandates are in arts and culture and others elsewhere, like issues of promotion of languages. Pan-African Language Board is not with us, it's in another department. So probably we need to then to come and present that holistic view so that members can then have a conclusive idea as to where the sector is. You said it's an industry, so it's a sector. And just to say, categorize them as a sector. But otherwise, the one-year extension will be cut short by the amendment of by the new legislation that is in Parliament called the Question and so forth. So we may even not even go to 2 years. We just want to reconstitution right now as we speak. So that even when that legislation is in, then going forward, when there are time elapses, that legislation will have taken over in terms of the functioning of the traditional council. But currently, we don't have an enabling instrument between now and the adoption of the legislation. That's why we're asking for a year to two. But if it happens within 6 months, well and good, we'll then be guided by whatever comes in, but with an instrument that enables between now and before then, if we could then get that one. Thank you very much.
Very clear, loud and clear. Any other thing for the
department?
Sorry,
thanks, Nabusha. The kingships and the traditional councils, the linkage, you know, it comes from the hierarchy. We have a king at the top, principal traditional leader, senior traditional leader, head men and head women. And those structures, you know, traditional council consists of, you know, head men and head women that fall under that senior traditional leader. Kingship is a different level, you know, represented by senior traditional leaders and the elected members. And then the Nhlapo Commission, yes, there were kingships and kings that were announced, and there were about 13 kingships when they were announced, and including the Matanzima kingship at the time when the announcement was made. You know, the paramount chief at that point passed on. So we remain talking about 12 kingships. You know, because of time, you know, I would not even attempt to indicate which areas. And but in Eastern Cape, we have those kingships there, a number of them. And then in the Free State, we have the deemed kingships. And in Mpumalanga, we have a kingship and a deemed kingship. And then at, in Limpopo, we have 3 kingships. And KZN, 1 kingship, and so on. So all in all, well, in Limpopo, it's also a kingship as well. It's 2 kingships and 1 kingship. And there are a number of cases in court where royal family contesting, not agreeing with the findings, and so forth. So, you know, in short, maybe that's what I will say. Thanks.
By the look of things, Deputy Minister and our members, it's very clear that how the committee, select committee structured, it is dealing with quite a number of issues. It's dealing with quota issues, it's dealing with public service and admin, it's dealing with women issues, it's dealing with youth issues, and also intergovernmental relations. And in that case, there's been a deficiency, perhaps, in terms of ensuring that there's continuous interaction between your department and the committee. And I think that's an area which we need to improve, so that from time to time we're able to really accommodate these concerns that have been raised without necessarily neglecting them, because they are really valuable. But the only challenge is that for now, we are dealing with a matter that is imminent, that has got a pressing time frames which we need to really pronounce as the NCOP. In that note, allow me to indicate, Deputy Minister, that we will also extend an invite again where we have an open discussion around issues with the traditional leadership in our country. And where are you, what is currently happening, what is it that you are envisaging to really address in the future so that tomorrow the perceptions are cleared at the end of the day. Allow me to ask Honorable Teta, who is the whip of the committee, just to convey our gratitude. And may I also ask Honorable Members that we remain just for 5 minutes immediately after releasing the department. Honorable Teta, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity that was given to me by the Chairperson to thank the department for availing themselves and do this presentation and come up with the clarity that the Deputy Minister has done. We really appreciate. No, I was joking about that. No, not in the sense that that you won't be there. No, but on behalf of the committee, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. I'm not sure from your side, in absence of anything, you are released.
No, thank you, Chairperson. We will really look forward to that invitation. And indeed, we'll be more than ready. We'll share the perspectives. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Can we release the department? Can I ask one of our members that you remain
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Me man, we must go and check this one.
What is expected of us as a committee is to do two things. Out of two things, we expect to do very nice one. One, we need to go out and invite a presentation, not presentation, a submission, or else we go out on public hearing. So the committee is supposed to pronounce on that. I don't want us to wait so that tomorrow we come back and read the piece just to say, what is our way forward? We need to give the direction to the future in terms of that and expect the
Chair, I just want to get it clear. Is it a cycle? How many weeks are we given for the public hearing?
I
think it's all that.
So it means tomorrow we'll just incorporate that position specifically in the within the committee. May I make a request because I've observed in the think I'm in the chair. That is why if you check today we didn't have introductions and other issues because of limited time. If you check in terms of your program, and I'm not sure how I'm going to deal with it. Maybe we'll discuss at our level in terms of really addressing issues. But if you check, there are reports, there are emails, there are also quite a number of issues that are before the committee.
Not No, Chair, you are correct. I said that they must just bring all these issues that are outstanding to the committee so that we decide as a committee. Because some of these things, they lapse and we end up not knowing where they are. For example, there are reports of which were supposed to be submitted by last term. Now, I said let them bring them to the committee, although the targeted reports or petitions that we're supposed to deliberate on tomorrow, our efforts will be there. The one which we went for at Northern Cape, municipal municipality, and the last NISA. Yeah, and the last NISA petition, which we must conclude. The other petitions, the committee will then direct what do we do, but of course they are in the program.
Yes,
I just wanted them to be acknowledged. Yes.
In the constituency tomorrow, we have to make announcement on our report on this matter, given that there's plenary also tomorrow. So we'll have to be more flexible in terms of time.
Yes.
I know also your committee, Honorable Committee, has got the contribution.
Thank you, Chair. No. I just discussed with my secretary now, because we're invited military veterans, but they indicated that they are not coming tomorrow. So I think the petition can take that time for us.
Can we be accommodated tomorrow with the commission now?
Nyombo.
Right.
All right.
Let me apologize. I was hospitalized.
No, I know. You called.
I told you.
Yeah. I called.